God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on being heroic. It's a unique type of heroism. You'll hear about it in just a minute from Dr. Don. We began this yesterday, but we're just getting started, and Dr. Don will catch you up in just a moment. I want you to know we're here for you. As we study God's Word together, we are committed to being available both at the other end of 866-899-WORD and on our website, theencouragingword.org. That's 866-899-9673 or online at theencouragingword.org. And the front page of our website, you'll see this wonderful tool called the Promises of Praying for Others. It's right there at theencouragingword.org. Now let's open our hearts and God's Word together with Dr. Don Wilton about the heroic dead.
Are you listening? Without the boat, you cannot be saved. You're going to suffer the judgment that comes upon everybody who's not in the boat. All right, there was a third warning, and it was concerning the sending of rain. The Bible tells us that. I want to just tell you what else. In all probability, Noah had never heard of rain. Hard for us to imagine on a day like this. He'd never heard of rain. He didn't know what rain was, let alone a flood. Well, what was the rain, folks? The rain was the judgment of God. And by the way, the sending of rain was not a suggestion that God was considering. It was an ultimatum concerning what God was going to do. He warned Noah concerning the coming rain. He said, it's coming. I'm going to judge sin. You need to build a boat. There's going to be a lot of rain. And number four, concerning the covenant that he would make between himself and the descendants of Noah. Verse 18, I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark all these creatures. And so we get all the description of what took place. God wasn't making a suggestion concerning his covenant with mankind. He was warning Noah concerning the covenant that he will make with those who get into the boat. Now, what was the mark of this man's faith? First of all, it was to be found in the warning he heard. Second of all, the fear that he experienced. That's the second mark. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, look what it says there in verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear. I'll be honest with you, folks. When I read about the holy fear of Noah, do you know what I think of? I can see him just standing there cringing like this, turning his way, his face, and just cringing and shaking from head to toe. Like when you're real scared. Well, folks, that's not what God is saying here. In fact, if you go back into the Greek text there, you're going to find that the Greek word actually means pious care. It more better reads, he responded in reverence. That's a sense of awe. And that word there, reverence, carries with it three dimensions. Number one, it means great concern. It means that his concern was so great because he was listening to the voice of God. It not only means great concern, it means great respect. That he had just the profoundest, deepest respect because God was speaking. It also means great devotion. So here you have these three dimensions of the response of Noah that contributed toward him becoming a true hero of the faith. It was the manner with which he responded. He had this incredible fear, this great respect and concern and devotion for the one who was speaking to him. You see, my friends, the manner with which Noah responded to God was an indication of his understanding of God. His faith was a faith response. Though not seeing, he believed. That's what the word says in Hebrews there. He was warned about things that he could not see. Yet though he could not see these things, he believed. Folks, he couldn't see God's judgment. He couldn't understand the boat. He didn't know what rain was. He couldn't understand this business of God making a covenant with him. Abraham had not even showed up on the scene yet. And yet he responded in awe, reverence, and fear. Stood in the presence of God. Number three, the third mark of this hero's faith can be found in the work that he did. Not just in the warning that he heard and in the fear that he experienced, but in the work that he did. By the way, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that we must not just hear the word of God, we must do it. It's not good enough just to listen to it. Do you know that there's a great possibility that there are many people today listening to this message, worshiping with us, that God will speak to you, you will hear about it, but you won't do anything about it. This time next week, you'll go back into church and you'll be exactly the same. Because you don't do anything about it. Well, there were two things that he did. There were two jobs that he went about. The work that he did was twofold. Number one, he built the ark. You say, boy, pastor, now I know you're a genius. I mean, you worked that out that he built. Yep, he built the ark. Now, friends, let me tell you something. Building this ark was a terrific task. It was unbelievable. The Bible gives us all the dimensions, several football fields long, about 15 stories high. I mean, it was massive. It was gigantic. Well, can you imagine holding all those elephants and giraffes and all the other things that boarded on that boat? I mean, it was a massive undertaking, let alone the eight people that were going to board the boat. God gave him specifics with regarding the building. But the situation is this, folks, that Noah did what God told him to do. He built the ark. Now, why? What's the significance? Well, let me give you just one. You'll notice here, let me read this to you. Have a look at verse 14 with me in chapter 6 of Genesis. So make yourselves an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. Anyone know what pitch is? Not a baseball pitch. Or even better, a cricket pitch in England? No. Pitch is like a waterproof stuff. Now, I don't know what it looked like back in Noah's time. It must have been awfully sorry. I don't even think Pickens Roofing would have used the stuff today. But back then, pitch was whatever it was. God gave them pitch. They made this mixture, and it was waterproof. Now, what was pitch designed to do? Pitch, boys and girls, was put on the outside of the boat and on the inside of the boat, and it had one purpose. It was designed to prevent the water coming into the boat. Now, when all those people with Mr. Noah were in that boat, and water was able to get into that boat, what would have happened to that boat? You tell me. Someone tell me. Yes, sir. Sink, just like that. How many of you would have thought that it would sink? Hold your hands up. Just boom, like that, down it goes, sink. If water gets in the boat, boom, it's over. Down you go, tip over, down, sink. And if the boat sank, guess what would have happened to all the people in the boat? They would have drowned, folks. They would have drowned just like all the people outside the boat who were suffering the judgment of God. So God said to Noah, Noah, I'm going to promise you that all the people in the boat are not going to drown, and the boat is not going to sink, and the way you're going to make sure that it doesn't happen is you're going to put pitch around the outside of it, which is waterproof. Do you know when you go and study that in the Hebrew text, do you know that the root word for pitch is exactly the same as the root word for atonement in the New Testament? Did you know that? What is the atonement? That has to do with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Just as the pitch around the boat in Noah's time prevented water from getting in there, which had it gotten into the boat would sink the boat and would kill all the people on board, so it is that the blood of Jesus Christ, the superior one, the one who died upon the cross, is the pitch that coats me in God's saving grace. And the pitch of God's atoning work upon the cross is the means by which sin on the outside is unable to penetrate onto the inside of my body and my soul, thereby killing me and sending me to an eternal separation from God. And just as the people in the boat were saved according to God's decree from drowning, so it is. God tells me that in Jesus Christ, I am coated in the pitch of His atoning grace, so that I am able to say that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know that I am being saved because I am in the boat. Somebody say amen.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of today's message with Dr. Don Wilton. He's got a lot more to share, and that's coming up. But he wants me to remind you that we're connecting right now, even in the middle of the broadcast, both on our website at theencouragingword.org and on our phone number at 866-899-9673. You know, in the middle of the program, sometimes there's an opportunity to say, you know, I realize that I need to begin this path of repentance or this path of being more heroic in this message about the heroic dead. And you know that I don't want to do it on my own. You are not built to do it on your own. You're built for community. And we're just an extension of the body of Christ that would love to pray with you and for you right now. 866-899-WORD is the number. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us keyboard to keyboard online at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
I am coated in the pitch of His atoning grace so that I am able to say that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know that I am being saved because I am in the boat. Somebody say amen. Wow. Are you in the boat? Are you covered in the pitch of God's grace? What did He do? He built the ark. Number two, He preached repentance. He preached repentance. 2 Peter 2, verse 5. If He did not spare the ancient world when He brought the flood on its godly people, ungodly people, but protected Noah, Peter calls him a preacher of righteousness. In 1 Peter 3, verse 20, we are told when Jesus died on the cross, He went and He preached to the spirits in prison, in hell, who had disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. By the way, folks, listen. You know it took 120 years for Him to build that ark before the rain came and wiped out the earth? And this was a man who was declared righteous by God, who was considered blameless, who had fellowship as he walked with God. Friend, listen to me, listen, listen. Noah was a preacher of repentance. He was a walker of righteousness. He was a presenter of the truth of the Word of God. These people, they had heard Abel's testimony about proper worship. They had heard Enoch's testimony about proper fellowship. Now they were hearing Noah's testimony about proper repentance. And yet they would not believe. What about Noah? Number one, the warning he heard. Number two, the fear he experienced. Number three, the work that he did. Number four, the message that he sent. This heroic man who teaches us from the grave things that you and I struggle to understand in the year 2004. What is the mark of his heroic faith? It must lie in the message that he sent, which was based upon what he heard God say. Now, folks, listen. The message that Noah preached was based upon what he heard God say. What he heard God saying concerning sin. What he heard God saying concerning judgment. What he heard God saying concerning mercy and salvation. What he heard God saying concerning the instructions that he gave. Noah was a man of unbelievable faith, persistent, unhesitating, absolute faith, because his message was based upon what God was saying. I pray that in America today, that there will be men and women who would be able to stand up and who would boldly proclaim, not in the court of public opinion, what man has to say, but what God has to say. What about this message that he sent? It was driven by what he saw the people doing. All around him, the Bible tells us, verse 5 of chapter 6, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was evil all the time. Evil all the time. One of the passages in Scripture that grips my heart is when Jesus wept as he looked upon Jerusalem. Or we consider John Knox standing in the gates of Great Scotland, shouting and crying from his heart, from his broken heart, give me Scotland for the Lord Jesus Christ or I die. What was the message of this great hero of the faith? It was based upon what he heard God saying, and it was driven by what he saw the people doing, and it was shaped by what he practiced in his own life. Can you imagine a combination like that? Do we find people today, my friends, who are willing to stand up and say what God says, driven by what we see the people doing in the sight of God, enhanced by a personal testimony that is beyond reproach? You talk about spiritual leadership. It's right there. That's the hallmark of faith. That's what it means to be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl who's willing to stand up and be counted for righteousness' sake. But there was one more mark that I want to share with you, and that concerned the reward that he received. Did you know that there were two rewards the Bible says that Noah received? First of all, reward number one, his family was saved. Isn't that amazing? His whole family was saved. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something very interesting here. We know about Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah. Do you know that there is not one word in the Old Testament that mentions the righteousness of the family of Noah? I'm not saying that they weren't righteous. I'm saying there is no commendation concerning their righteousness. The only person that is mentioned is Noah, Big Papa himself. And because of his righteousness, his entire family was saved. I don't want to make too much of this, but I'm going to tell you, when I think of my own father, John Wilton, that's what I think about. He was here in the early service today. Do you know that prior to my father's conversion, you can find very few people in our extended family all over the world that had any kind of significant relationship with the Lord. I doubt if any of them died and became heroes of the faith. If they did, nobody knows about them. But do you know that from the time that my father gave his heart and life to Jesus, when I was just a young boy, what is the result? Now, folks, I'm not saying being called to be a preacher makes you any more righteous than anybody else, because it doesn't. But he's got three sons who are all preachers of the Word of God. All his grandchildren love the Lord Jesus Christ. You will find people in every country of the world almost. Not only our extended family, but family's family and family's family, 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 that have all been saved by the grace of God because they got into the boat. I'm going to submit to you today, even though I may not perfectly understand it, but I am convinced that one day when the books are written about our generation and we are long gone in the presence of God, you're going to open up the history account. You, in all likelihood, will not see one word about Don Wilton, pastor of First Baptist Church, Spartanburg, South Carolina. What you are going to see in those books is about a man named John Wilton who was counted as righteous in the presence of God. How are things going in your family? Is there a father here today that the legacy that you're leaving behind for your children is anything but the righteousness of God. It is anything but the blamelessness with which the people consider you. It is anything but a walk in the presence of God. And because you refuse to come to grips with Almighty God, nobody wants to get into the boat. What was the reward? His family was saved. And number two, his position was secured. Noah became an heir of righteousness according to faith. You see, my friends, when God sees us, he sees us through the lens of his Son. He sees us in the boat, surrounded by the pitch of his grace. When he sees us, he doesn't see us, he sees Jesus in us. I am washed and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ who lives within me. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? It's time to respond at the invitation. It's time to settle the issue. It's time to step up to the plate as far as God is concerned. Is there a man here today who's willing to step out for Jesus Christ? Is there a father here today who's willing to say everything else is important to me but the most important thing? Is there a lady here today who would stand up and be counted? Is there someone here today who can hear the voice of God? Precious friend, God has provided a boat, and the boat is still at the dock. God's grace and his love is still available. The gangplank is drawn out for you, and he is looking at you and saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Behold, I stand at your door and I knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you're willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the pitch of our salvation, that God will take people just like you and me, and he will earmark us as heroes of the faith. And friend, when you step into that boat, they'll come walking in two by two. And those that you love will be saved forever, because God will use the testimony of your heart. God will use your witness and your influence to make a difference in somebody else's life. It's really quite as simple as that. We just simply present to you the boat of God, who is Jesus Christ. Maybe you're sitting here saying, you know, I don't understand all of these things, Reverend. Friend, I got some good news for you. Noah didn't understand them either, but he believed it. He accepted it. Never seen a boat, but he built one. What's it going to take for you to step into the boat of God's grace? You know, I often wonder as a dad. My two sons and my daughter see me do a lot of things. They've heard me ride around the world in a canoe. They've watched me ride roller coasters. They've seen me make a complete idiot out of myself playing basketball. They've felt my love, but have they seen me in the boat? How about it today? Maybe you want to give your life to the Lord Jesus. We'd love to pray with you. You say, can I do that right now? You can. Right now, you can do it right where you are. Who's welcome in this church? Everybody. Everybody who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus is welcome at First Baptist Church.
It's powerful imagery, but even more powerful truth, washed and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You know, sometimes you hear something like that, and perhaps if you're new to the faith, it may seem a little frightening. Don't be frightened. There is a true cleansing power in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for you and for me. Before we get away, our pastor's got a closing thought that's coming up in just a moment, but I want you to know that we're here to have a conversation. It's not just a one-way communication, it's a conversation. Doc reminds us all the time, we want to be available for you, and we do so 24 hours a day. If you call 866-899-9673, though it may be 3 o'clock in the morning where you are, we are either at that same time committed to be up and praying for you, or we're a few time zones available. It's a little easier to make those calls. We just want you to know we're available for you. Again, the phone number is 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. I promise you some closing thoughts from the pastor. Here they are.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you ready to give your heart to Jesus? I'd love to help you right now.
Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org.
You know, I want to say something to you personally. You ready for this? Thank you. It's a powerful word, isn't it? Small one, powerful. I want to thank you. You see, the sun hardly rises or sets in a day that we don't see people coming to know Christ through this broadcast ministry. Every day. And you make that possible through your prayers, most of all, and through your financial giving. God is doing something great. And in our world today, this medium of television, very important, folks. This is very, very important. God is allowing us to go into more and more homes across the United States of America. Thank you for helping us make this possible. And let's never stop praying that people would come to know Jesus. God bless you.
Our time's gone for today, but we're connecting always at theencouragingword.org and 866-899-WORD. Tomorrow's message, The Tested Dead. Oh, this is a test you'll want to be here for. Same time tomorrow, join us for The Encouraging Word, Bible-based preaching from Dr. Don Wilton.
Preacher Wilton, I just wanted you to know how my family life has changed. I gave my heart to God listening to you on the radio. Now my wife has a new husband, and my kids have a new dad, and I thank God for your ministry.